chapters to cover as we're doing our overview in the book of Philippians. And we're on the backside of the notes there. We've walked through. Remember, the unique thing about Philippians is that it's a thank you, just a big thank you letter for their generous ministry and gifts that they had provided to Paul through Epaphroditus. And Paul taking the opportunity in his writing of his thank you. He has a pastor, apostle's heart, can I put it that way? Never going to miss the opportunity to help his brothers and sisters, his children in the Lord, can I put it that way, grow in Christ. As we come to chapter 3, and I trust your Bibles are already open there, you'll see in our notes, chapter 3, as we talked, remember the main themes of joy, as well of fellowship and in the gospel. So we begin each of these statements with the same phrase, God desires, as we learn from the book of Philippians ourselves, God desires joy-filled, singular-focused citizenship. So we'd seen chapter 1, joy-filled, spiritually-minded supplication, the amazing prayers there, and then chapter 2, joy-filled, servant-hearted service, especially in the example of Timothy and Epaphroditus. Now here, Paul is really sharing with us, this is one of the, in my opinion, core chapters that deals with who Paul is. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and a follower and disciple of Christ. And it's something that all of us can attain to. It's not just something that's apostolic, that is only for him. It's actually things that we should cling to. Our passion. What is our passion? This is Paul's passion. He, with great joy and delight, is going to be focused in this life about his citizenship in heaven. It's not mentioned here, but in beginning in verse 1, I want you to see the word joy again. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now he's going to explain, how does that happen? What is that done? Down to verse 7. But what things were gained to me, he recounts some of the things that were gained in his previous life before being saved, all right? Before Christ, B.C., all right? And now after Christ, after he's been saved, he's explaining in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. They were worthless. That's the idea of loss there. All the things that he'd done in the Jewish religion were worthless when it comes to eternity and serving the God of heaven. And in particular, Christ who died for his sins. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency. That's a great word. I like that. It's a verb that's been being used as a descriptive term here. And maybe you could put surpassingness would be maybe another idea. It's the overpowering idea, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. You see, far more important than all the things he knew in the Jewish religion was that he now is learning to grow and know Christ. That's the excellent knowledge. And that should become our passion and desire. You see, his heart is set on his King. And he's going to use that illustration as he goes on here. So, keep on going. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He recognizes, wait a second, yeah, I've lost much. All the things that he counted worthwhile to him, that had value to him before he was saved, he's lost it all, and that's okay for Christ's sake. And I do count them but dung. That's his attitude towards his former religion. It's waste. That I may win Christ. Now this is very interesting. You know, win Christ. What do you mean by win Christ? That's the same word really. The word win is the same word that you find back in verse 7. Gain. But what things were gained to me, all it is it's now here in a verb form instead of a noun form. And what is he saying? Well, what is valuable again? Not the things in his former religion, but what is valuable to him, what he gains in Christianity is Christ. He gains Christ. What joy. And he's going to explain that gain, the blessing of that Christianity in verses 9 and 10. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness. He was working for his own righteousness under the law. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Any righteousness that I have is of Christ. What gain, is it not? I stand before God, I can hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant, not because of who I am, not because of my righteousness, but because of Christ and his working through me. My salvation is secure because his righteousness paid for covers my sin. And he goes on in verse 10, that I may know him. So I'm saved, I gain salvation through the righteousness of Christ, that I may know Him. Here becomes my passion of life. And part of that knowing Him is the power of His resurrection. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that can work in me so that I can be a victorious Christian. Be faithful in my service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in my relationship with Him. It's not of myself. It's not in me. All right? Paul already said that. So, I live for my citizenship in heaven, and the power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that's working in me so I can know Him. And as well, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings. You know, God has called us to fellowship like we fellowship in the fellowship hall. Same clue, same idea. I commune with Christ even in His sufferings. Because it's in that that I'm being made, it says in the universe, being made conformable. I fit into the mold of Christ's death. We should be able to say with Paul, I die daily. I realize he's speaking to the fact that he faced death every day physically. He never knew during his ministry, I could die today. And he lived in light of it. It didn't let him ruin his life. Isn't that something? I need to be conformed to that obedience that he had already taught in chapter 2 of Christ's death. Christ learned obedience by the death of the cross. That same conformity with the joy and delight that one day I'm going to be in heaven. I already am a citizen of heaven. I get to go home and know my Savior full well. And I want to look like Him. I want to be conformed to His image. And a part of that is being willing to die to self, conformed to His death. If by any means, all right, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. More than likely, this is a challenging verse, and commentators struggle on it a little bit, and you say, is he talking about, is there a chance that he might not rise from the dead? No, that's clear. That's not the case. We know of other things that he's taught. His salvation is sure. More than likely, he's hoping that it may be possible that he not die a martyr's death. That he would actually live until the rapture! Wouldn't that be great? We all live for that, don't we? We should. We should look forward to the day when Christ, may He come back tonight. I don't want to have to go out in the rain again. All right? Now, that's a terribly low reason for the rapture, is it not? But wouldn't it be great? We live for the rapture. And that's Paul's heartbeat. He says, I want to grow in Christ. I so look forward to seeing Him. I trust that I don't have to go through the martyr's death, that I might attain, I might be living while when the resurrection happens. But if not, that's okay. It's okay. Not as though I had already attained, verse 12. I'm still growing in the Lord. Either we're already perfect, I'm still growing. But I follow after, I pursue. If that I may apprehend, I may be overcome by that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Why did Christ redeem me? So that I can become like Him. That I may know Him. The power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable to His death. And so Paul's passion is this citizenship in heaven. He's passionately pursuing it. Let's finish up. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now what is he talking about? Well, God has accomplished several things in his life, but more than likely, he's first referring back to all the things he counted loss for Christ. They're nothing. All the things under my Jewish religion, I forget those. They have no value. And then, as God has allowed goals and accomplishments that I've been able to be used of the Lord and grow in Christ up to this point, he says, I'm still not done though. Have you ever known of a Christian that they live in the glory of their past? When they used to be a good soul winner, when they used to disciple people, when they used to be faithful to God. I run into them out and, you know, knocking on doors. Unfortunately, I run into them in church sometimes too. Don't be a used to. I used to be Christian. And that's what Paul... No! He says, no. I forget those things that are behind and reach forth. I continue to press, all right, under those things which are before. I'm still living. I still have opportunity to serve the Lord. The Lord hasn't raptured us yet. So I'm going to continue to pursue what God has called me to do, to be conformed to the image of His Son, to serve Him faithfully. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's looking for a reward. Sometimes I've heard Christians say, well, you know, I should do it just because out of the pureness of my heart, I know that it's right. You know what? That times motivated Paul, but he had no shame in saying, I want to get that reward in heaven one day. And I'm going to passionately, because that's the best reward, to be rewarded by God, to hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant, to be given crowns by your Lord and Savior. Could you imagine the reward ceremony there? It's unlike any grade school reward program, you know, award program, when they get done with their academic meet and you get the ribbon and you know how gleeful they are about all that. The cool stuff. Heighten that by eternity and you want to stand before God and receive the prize. That's what Paul says. One day I'm going to give an account to my King, the one who's the Lord of our kingdom, and I want to get the prize. May God help us to live that way. So verse 20, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change us. Oh, what joy. Let's look forward to that. Okay. Let me finish up Philippians. Will you let me do that? All right. Give me 2 minutes. I'll strive to hurry. All right. If you need to leave, I'll forgive you. All right. Chapter 4, real quick. God desires joy-filled, sweet-smelling satisfaction. Verse 4, finally, or rejoice in the Lord always. This is Philippians 4:4. And again, I say rejoice. Paul's life was passionate about rejoicing in God. Let your moderation, your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's watching. Be careful for nothing. Don't get anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No wonder Paul could be satisfied. He understood that God's peace can overrule his heart, even in the midst of some of the deepest, hardest battles that he ever faced. And so he goes on. Finally then, in light of that, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, think on these things. Because God is going to be the God that you answer to, because God in this life gives you peace and offers you joy, why would you think about anything else but Him and His plans and purposes, all that is right and good, according to our memory verses in 2 Corinthians 5. Isn't that something? All right, verse 18. But I have all and abound. Remember, he'd learned both in times of not much provision and great provision. He learned both be abased and abound. So he says, I have learned, I have all and abound. And that's an amazing statement because there were times of great want and he anticipated, and by the way, he was in prison, and he could say, I have all and abound. You see, his life was not wrapped up in the things he had here, in the places he had here. They were wrapped up in his citizenship in heaven. And if God was taking care of him, and God was, Paul was satisfied. Can you live that way, Christian, in 2017 in Roscoe, Illinois? I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What an amazing description of the gift that the Philippians had sent. There was physical provision, but he saw way beyond the physical provision. He saw that as an offering and a sacrifice to God. And he couldn't help but rejoice that God was working in the Philippians' hearts. That's what he saw first. Secondly, oh, okay, well, thanks for the gift too. I know how to live when I don't have anything and I rejoice when God provides. I can rejoice in both the scenarios. But I really rejoice in the fact that you sacrifice and that sacrifice is well-pleasing to God. What an amazing heartbeat. May God help us to have a joy-filled, sweet-smelling satisfaction before our God as well. Let us be generous like the Philippians were. Let us rejoice in God like Paul did. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the time together this evening. Help us to keep our hearts and minds set on our heavenly home. And may we, like Paul, passionately pursue our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in our relationship with Him and in our service to Him. And as a result, may we live in total satisfaction because You provide peace and rest and joy. No matter what our physical, earthly circumstances are, we can, even in the prison house, say, I have all in abound. I can rejoice in the Lord always. So cause us with great joy to live the rest of this week, trusting in you and rejoicing to see what you will do in and through our lives. May we become more like Christ the rest of this week. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Men, don't forget, we have our men's prayer breakfast Saturday morning at 8:30. We'll have to see what the weather does, whether we can go calling right now. The prediction is not good, but that can change between now and then. So we'll still plan on calling right now, but we'll keep you posted about the 10:30 calling as well. Good night, folks. You are dismissed. Drive home safely.